Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and kyber crystallize the Star Wars movies, 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
They call me Alex Robinson from ComicBookAlex.com.
I'm Meredith Warner from Your Worst Nightmare.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Welcome back.
We gave it a go. Yeah. We tried it. We tried it out. It didn't. We'll workshop it. Come back to it. Swing back around.
Welcome back. Thanks for finishing out the week. We're on minute 10.
Integral minute.
Double digits.
Rogue One.
Yeah. Minute 10 of Rogue One starts with a suspicious man on the streets of Kafreen. And it ends with that same suspicious man in disbelief after being told that something was a planet killer. A planet killer.
You're referring to him as a suspicious man.
We don't know who he is. He looks very suspicious walking around in there.
They both look absolutely ridiculously suspicious. Mm-hmm. It's like high school play suspicious.
Yeah, I like this movie a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This scene is... I don't love this scene. It's very stagey. It's very just kind of like, well, we need to get the exposition in and we need to end. A lot of things don't make sense. Like, why? All right, so we'll get there. So we see suspicious man.
Handsome suspicious man.
Handsome.
The
dashing
chin
suspicious
on that
man.
Cassian could cut glass. My goodness.
Going through the streets of, we know it's a strange alien location because people seem to be eating bugs and eating bugs means weird always.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I write? I wrote Star Wars. Oh, I was like, why did I write Star Wars Holiday Special, which is just something that I do that often, but,
you have that on every single page of your notes.
Yeah. In a little doodle. It's in a heart. It reminded
Mrs.
me.
Mrs. Star Wars Holiday
Mrs.
Special.
Star Wars. Someday.
It reminded me of in the cartoon part of the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Mm-hmm.
When Boba Fett takes them into the town, into the city.
Boba Fett.
That's the one. they take him into the city and they walk through this kind of, busy street of alleyways and marketplaces and all that. And so this reminded me of that same kind of setup where you're just kind of this bustling street with things going on. And we didn't get the alien who's chewing gum in the front and blows a bubble in the back, but...
Is that really in the holiday special?
In the cartoon part. The part that everybody says is good from the holiday special. As an alien who walks by and is chewing gum in his front face and his back face blows a bubble.
So it is canonically, there is gum in the Star Wars universe.
Good to know.
No, sadly. That's not canon.
Well, there is gum in the legends of the Star Wars.
There's hope for canon.
Legend has it there's gum. but yes, so we know it's weird because there are bugs.
Mm-hmm.
He looks super like I'm trying not to be seen, kind of walking around, looking, shifty. Makes his way down a back alley, and runs into his I'm not going to say friend, I'll say his associate, Tivik.
Mm-hmm.
Tivic.
Tivic.
T-I-V-I-K.
It's the Honda Tivic.
Honda Tivic. The environmentally conscious friend.
Right.
Why is he environmentally conscious?
He's a Honda Tivic.
Right. It's
a joke.
I thought you were going to say there should be a scene where Han Solo was paging Tivic, and he'd say, Honda Tivic, Honda Tivic.
Come in, Tivic. Tivic here.
But
go
I
ahead,
wish,
Han.
But going back to the food, I wish more Star Wars like world, like Galaxy's Edge and stuff, which I haven't been to yet, so maybe the food is different, would embrace.
Pete, you've been there, right?
I was there with the listeners, and it was terrific. They were wonderful.
But I wish they would embrace the more fun street food elements to Star Wars. Like when I was in Disneyland before they opened Galaxy's Edge, they did a Star Wars section that kind of took over Tomorrowland. And they had all this food there that was Star Wars centric. And it was just basically like a parfait and like a long crawler slash like donut type. And it was just, this didn't feel Star Warsy. I'm like, what, it's dyed red because of the blood of the Padawans. I don't know, that Darth Vader killed. Like, it didn't make any sense at all.
Blood of the Padawans, a great title for a Star Wars novel or something.
But it just was like, you know, it was just too thoughtless. And I was, you see stuff like this, like, of course, like blue milk we all know, and there's other things as well, but I don't know. I just wish they'd have more fun with the actual food part of this. Yeah. There should be a lot more fun food moments in Star Wars that I don't think we get a lot of. Well, then, which J.J. Abrams gave us in, what's it called? With Daisy's
Force
Little
Awakens.
Bread. Yes, yeah. Force Awakens.
Oh, yeah.
When she
the
makes,
dinner roll, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. And it gave me a lot of love and hope for the first for the first movie, because I was like, oh, if it's like this bread, well, we are set.
Yeah.
Make the whole movie like this bread.
That's kind of how I felt, though, because it was such an adorable, earned moment. And you're like, oh, this becomes that, and that feeds her, and it's cool.
Yeah. And we humans like to eat, so we like we're curious about that. It's funny, all the original trilogy movies have scenes of people sitting down to have food, and yet I don't think you ever see people eating food in it. You see the Lars family, but you never see what they're eating.
Never see what they're eating.
In Empire, they're going to sit down and have dinner with Boba Fett and Vader at Cloud City.
That doesn't work out.
You get Yoda's stew. A little,
oh, that's true.
There is stew.
Yeah.
That's gross, right? Because Luke doesn't like it.
He doesn't like it.
Yeah. No, well, Yoda doesn't like Luke's nutrition bars or whatever.
Nutrition bars.
Space food stick. How did you get so big eating food like this?
So
they don't each other's foods.
Yeah.
But it's not, there could be more food in this, I feel like. Mm-hmm.
Phantom Menace, Jar Jar, he tries to eat those the street food
the
with
street
his
food,
tongue
the,
and stuff.
What's it, like a frog or something?
Yeah, some kind
frog
of
on a stick.
Amphibian.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Frog on a stick. Yeah, I would like to see more, and of course the holiday special features extensive cooking scenes.
Oh, it does. Predominantly.
we do get a cooking scene in Return of the Jedi, but unfortunately we don't get to see them eat the Ewoks eating the heroes.
Oh, I thought you meant Palpatine zapping Luke with the electricity.
Another few minutes, it'll be done.
Can you imagine? They're like, you know what? We need a food scene. Let's sacrifice one of them. Like, it makes sense. We need an eating scene.
The Rancor. The Rancor we see eating.
There you go.
Eating
frogs.
Yeah, Jabba
there's all
a
kinds
frog.
Of eating. People are eating all over the place.
Yeah.
More food.
Mm-hmm.
That's my note. If I was a note, I'd be like, more food in this movie. Yeah.
Maybe that should be our... That should be our shirt for this week. It's just more food, but in the Star Wars font.
Yeah, there you go. What letters would connect? Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to spoil something and say that man, the unknown man, is in fact Cassian Geron Andor.
Mm. Yeah, Andor.
A.K.A. Willix, A.K.A. Ach, A.A.C.H.
All sexy.
A.K.A. Joran Sward.
Mm-hmm. Top
and
that, Poe.
He goes by the codename Fulcrum. Which you Rebels fans will know that codename plays a part in the Rebels. That's like the codename for a spy. So at one point, Cassian had that codename.
I remember it took me once or twice through the movie to remember his name, and I was calling him.
Oh yeah,
him,
I never remembered
Captain
it.
Captain Cashews. That was the first.
I was calling him Nail.
Unless he tried to call himself that. And you know what?
Yeah. That's a Thursday call.
Woolen Musters can't pull that off, but he can.
Yeah. Yes, he could.
Asking Andrew, he can pull that off. He's like, yeah. He's nailed
some would
it.
Say oh, he yeah. nailed it.
Oh. He is 26 years old. Born 26 BBY. I think the actor, I think, is older, correct?
I don't know, but so. I don't think he's 26. Yeah. If he is, okay.
He was born on the Planet Fest, which sounds like a fun
Planet
place.
Fest.
They wear vests on Fest.
And he started, he became a rebel at the age of 6 when he started throwing bricks and rocks at as part of the Separatists.
My goodness. Mm.
So there you go. I hope they address how long he's been doing this rebellion thing and what it means to him at some point in the film.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should bring that back in some way.
Said, as part of the Separatist movement? Again, I'm gonna keep having problems wrapping my head around Separatists and Republic and Rebellion and Empire and the crossing wires there.
Well, I think a lot of the Separatists wound up becoming rebels.
Right, which is weird to me.
Well, to me, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, basically it seems like a natural progression.
But also, then I'm like, I forgot, like, so like, what's his name? Frankenberry with the knob. What?
Techno Union.
Yeah.
Watt Tambor.
He was a good guy?
No, that part doesn't. Well, I don't think necessarily everyone who was fighting it had necessarily good motives involved. Like, the rebellion seems to have good motives, I guess.
You could still be a bad person and be a part of the rebellion.
Yeah, that's
true.
Hence,
this character we just met.
Yeah.
Mysterious Man?
Yeah, Mysterious Mysterio. Man. Cassian Andor.
Captain Cashew. Nail. Mysterious Man. So his friend Tivik. You have more... Captain Cashew's information.
Emoting. He is emoting.
He is.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing, like you said, high school play.
Yeah. He's emoting like a junior higher cast the lead in Sound of Music. It is dark.
I do have some information about Tivik.
Oh, please.
He isn't a member of the Alliance, as is apparently everyone.
Sure.
He's saying like, they're gonna leave without me, and the mission that he's about to go on is to steal some ammunition for the rebellion. That's their plan. He's going on a ship that is going to do a run and steal.
Why does it matter if they leave without him?
Yeah, and who, like, they would know that he was like, it makes more sense if he's like an imperial something
defector, you know, or something.
Like, yeah,
yeah,
or if he was a member of the Empire who was like, I gotta get back, they're leaving, and if I'm not there, they'll know
that I'm out here talking to handsome
men. That's what you were saying.
I guess it's just his ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a I already paid for the gas.
There's a lot that there's a lot of questions. I have Tivik questions. We need to talk about Tivik.
Well, do you think it's because the tensions between the Alliance and the Separatists is so high? Because do you think a Separatist would kill?
I don't know.
Am I wrong on this? I feel like it's because that's where Saw comes in and becomes the whole point of this film that's very difficult to get over for some time.
Yeah, there's clearly different factions of the rebellion that aren't necessarily working together. Right.
They're not yet the Rebel Alliance.
Right.
They're just a bunch of rebels.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Soon will be an alliance.
And I don't know why this isn't, maybe it was must have been mentioned in the novelization, but Tivik's breath smells like cinnamon.
Why was that mentioned?
I don't
know. This was mentioned and not why Jin was in prison? Come on. No. That's insane.
I almost feel like they put that in there specifically frilly for me because I'm always asking what things in the Star Wars universe smell like. Mm. Now it makes me wonder what Cassian's breath smells like.
Cashews.
Cinnamon. Yeah.
They should have had him shoveling handfuls of cashews into his mouth all the time. That is all the information I have on Tivik.
All right.
Except for the fact the actor is named Danny Mays, and he was on an episode of Doctor Who in 2011, and he was in the series Good Omens.
Hmm. I loved that series.
Yeah, I don't know who he played in.
I don't remember who he played.
I'm sure he just played some overacting guy.
Yeah, poor thing.
So you have more questions about Tivik?
I do, and they're not about his history. They're about his motivation.
Okay.
Like, well, why... A, that doesn't make sense. Like, why is he so worried about getting back if it's just a mission? And why is this a secret? Why isn't it just like, oh, I'm going to go tell, you know, the other people that need to know about this? Like, you know, like, it seems like it only would make sense if he's going back to some imperial or imperial sanctioned activity.
Yeah, like he would get in trouble.
Right. But then also, like, why wouldn't he just give all the information he has to Cassian quickly in one big burst and then be like, now I gotta go, instead of being like, all right, there's a guy and they're working on a weapon. Like, what kind of weapon? I gotta go. Like, what kind of weapon? Death Star. Like, he's like, why not just say all that now instead of making
He wasn't expecting this magic position.
I know.
Yeah, like, it's so, just much, so dramatic.
But then I thought, oh, maybe it's because he likes him. And
Tibbet likes
the moment.
Captain Cashews, because he wants him to care and wants him to be like, no, stay, talk to me.
Maybe he's nagging him slightly. Yeah.
He wants him to like say, come with me. Like, I thought you'd never ask.
It doesn't work out for the two, though.
Yeah.
No. No.
That was all I could figure out that would make this work, because otherwise it seems like, I don't know, question everything about this scene.
It's unfair to Diego's character, because he's a good character that does a lot of meat there, and I just feel like it's so just shoved in there. So, like, so much of this film, which I actually do genuinely like this film, but so much of it is like, I want to spend more time with this person. I want to spend more time with this person. These are good people that you built and developed, and it's just, there's no time for it. There's none. Because after this, it's back. The mission begins, really. Yeah.
I think this was all a part of the reshoot.
Yeah?
They felt like they needed, because my Star Wars Minute Rogue One Ultimate Visual Guide has zero information about this outpost, about Tivik, about any of this stuff that we, because I was like, oh, I want to find
cinnamon.
Out more.
They have cinnamon. His breath smells like
that
cinnamon.
I think I got from the Wikipedia.
Okay.
So that's anyway, it makes legit. Me think that this is, that's why they, it's almost like we were saying it's needlessly confusing to be cutting to a different location that never returns for the rest, you know, it's not like we go back to this place ever. So that's what they needed maybe like to explain how Cassian knew about it or something.
Or yeah, maybe they had some exposition they wanted. They had like matching bits of like, all right, we have a little bit of exposition and we want a little more Diego Luna and we want to get, let's make it kind of clear that he's, you know, a tough guy here. So why can we mix these elements together?
I mean, that's definitely why they shot the end of this scene. It was to establish that, okay, in this version, it's really gritty. Because that was the word they kept, gritty, gritty. It's so gritty. It's a war movie. It's a war movie. People betray each other. People shoot each other. It's a war movie.
Yeah.
I don't remember the war movies where this particular scene happened, but sure, it's gritty. Sure.
To be
continued tomorrow. Not another.
No. I think I care less about Tivik. I think my emotions are not.
I cannot care less about Tivik.
Care less about Tivik.
Even now that you know that his breath smells like cinnamon.
I'm on board.
Is he full of cinnamon? Maybe that's like the people of cinnamon.
Oh, when he shoots him,
he shoots
like,
just like a cloud. Like,
challenge. Yeah.
That's his defense. Right. Like, spits cinnamon in people's faces.
No, I think the emotional impact of Cassian, spoilers, shooting Tivik, I think is less to me than the emotional impact of Han Solo shooting Greedo, because it's a similar thing. They used to work together. They were associates, and then there's information exchanged. And granted, Greedo is pointing a gun at Han Solo, so it's not as cold blooded as it could be. But really, you know, it's a similar establishment of character where, you know, Han Solo is like, oh, well, he's involved in this underworld thing, and he's not afraid to, you know, kill a guy to get out of it. But I like Greedo more.
I think it justifies what happens in the end, because I think a lot of them, it's one of those things that you wanted to have enough distance or enough like emotional, like, well, they're not perfect people. It's not like sacrificing a bunch of lambs.
Right.
They are like, so maybe there's a little of like that sort of distancing. So when they do decide to do the thing that they do, it's not horrifically shocking. But I think I liked going that dark. I do think it makes him come across not trustworthy and like a very good person, but I find that to be interesting. But yeah, I don't, the Han shot first, it's much more character building than this. Is just very dark. It's just very gritty and dark.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, ugh.
Was there was Tivik originally supposed to shoot first, you think? And then they didn't have time and the budget, they couldn't.
Oh no, the whole like hobbling and the busted leg thing is just so intentional. It's real bad. It's just like,
does he have a busted leg and a busted? Because he definitely has a busted arm.
Sorry, okay, busted arm. Right. He's like hot, he's still, like kind of moves a little. He's like moves all like slow. It's just,
yeah,
it's too much. They knew exactly what they were doing with this. Like, he's a bad guy. Mm-hmm. So when we kill him, you shouldn't feel that bad about it.
I'm trying to think if we've seen a sling before in Star Wars. The only one I can think of is when Luke was on the Falcon after getting his hand cut off. But I don't know if he's wearing a sling or just holding his arm in that style.
Isn't there one in the award in the medal?
A sling?
The Yemen medal? Yeah, I feel like there might have been one on stage, a sling.
Oh, I don't remember.
Maybe. I could be misremembering. I very easily could be misremembering. That's entirely possible.
It's just odd because in most of the injuries in this world don't seem... They either make you a total cyborg or they just totally replace something like when, and it's no big deal.
Right.
So,
well, I don't know. But this is a different... This is the gritty underworld.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Not everybody...
Rick McCallum's underworld.
Yeah. But I think they should have leaned into the darkness more. I have my theory of how I would have done Rogue One.
In this alley. They should have been
five Tiviks and they just killed them all. Yeah. They made them fight to get out and then they killed the one that won anyways.
Right.
But I haven't given it much thought.
Each is filled with a different spice.
But I think they should have leaned into it more. It's just, I think there's a lot of stuff they tried to make it seem really scary and gritty, but I think that they kind of let the characters all become like these wholesome people in the middle and these like, you know, resistance fighters and just that simplistic thing. My theory is, okay, so the hologram that she sees when she sees Mads and she realizes that, oh, my father wasn't a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Let's push that back. Let's have her go to the planet. She's going to go kill her dad. She finds out that her dad's building this Death Star. He's a terrible person. That's what she's been fed her whole life, despite these war memories she has. Mm-hmm. He's building a Death Star. I'm going to go kill him. She goes, you know, all the things happen the same way. She ends up killing him, like full on killing him.
Killing him.
Yeah,
wow,
yeah.
That
and
is
it's
dark.
Like, and it's like, it could be a blast from an X-Wing. It could be right in front of him. I haven't really figured out.
Could she strangle him to
death? No. But it has to be like...
Softly with a song?
But he has to still be like, I love you. Like, I'm still like, I'm your dad. Yeah. Like, whatever. And she's like, you're a monster. And you've always been a monster. And then bang, bang, you're dead.
Uh-huh.
Then she sees the hologram. Oh. And she's like, oh, no.
Wow.
What
that
have I
dark.
Done? And then she's like... So it doesn't matter that she sacrifices her own life because she's carrying around the weight and the guilt of her own misdeeds.
Right. She's got to. She feels like she has to.
Has to fix the problem that she made.
Right the wrong.
Right.
It's
like
very. It's super dark, and then they could not let kids see it. But I was like, if we're gonna do this whole daddy dying stuff, like let's do this daddy dying stuff. Let's get baby to kill daddy.
Yeah. They have to move beyond these daddy issue things in Star Wars.
They'll never do that.
You don't think? I guess
never.
It is a tale as old as time.
All Disney movies are like that too. They all have daddy and mommy issues. Yeah. Mostly daddy issues in Star Wars.
Yeah.
And then most of the moms are dead in Disney movies. There's lots of absentee moms.
Parents in general don't seem to be very active.
There's just one,
I think I have a theory in general about why there's so many movies. Because it's not just Star Wars. Tons of movies are about fathers learning to like be... I think it's because A, studio executives all don't hang out with their kids, so they see these stories and are touched by them. And I think the idea of a mother doing that is just so horrifying and irredeemable. Mm. Like, okay, we can understand a dad not
getting
caring
it.
Learning a lesson. But the idea of a mother being like that, I think, is just two people would be so freaked out by it.
Mm. Well, because it's told through the lens of mostly males. The male gaze is like it permeates everywhere. Because, you know, you could never imagine a mommy being mean because you can only look within. You can only imagine yourself being mean.
Right.
Unless you had a mean mommy, I guess. Which hopefully
I don't want to talk about
does.
It.
But yeah, I say go full dark. Full dark.
Wow.
That's what I would do.
Do you think we'll ever see the original Gareth Edwards vision? Maybe his vision did have that.
I don't know. It sounds like he had so many visions. Because there was the vision he shot with like handheld cameras, which wasn't a full vision. Like he just had a lot of thematic stuff I think he was trying to do. And I think he thought it would piece together. And I think there's like five movies in this one movie. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why they brought Tony on.
Rogues 1-5.
Yeah, kind of. Which, I mean, to be fair, they probably let him do it and they didn't think it would be that big of a deal. And then they're like, no, we really do have to like premiere this at some point. So that's when they bring in like the old reliable Tony Gilroy.
The workhorse.
Yeah.
The one thing I like about all these movies being reshot and so on is that there's going to be tons of footage that they can use for, like, when they do other stuff around this era, they have tons of footage of them doing stuff that they can CGI into.
Just like in this, where they had extra takes from Star Wars.
Exactly.
Then they'll take extra takes from Rogue One and put them in other stuff.
They'll combine it with the stuff from Solo.
There you go.
And make one really terrible movie.
Or a fantastic
movie. Well, didn't they, and they use a ton of the stuff they shot of Carrie Fisher for the next film, The Rise of the Skywalker.
Right.
All that they
from
was all
the first one though, from Force Awakens.
From Force Awakens.
Extra stuff from Force Awakens.
I thought you meant from Star Wars.
From Star Wars.
From Star Wars, that too.
Yeah. From the first one. From Train Approaching the Station.
It seems like Last Jedi, they got everything they had to like actually make more footage. Yeah, they definitely had to.
Well, she spends half the movie laying in a coma. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
the
decision.
Yeah.
Choices. Do you think she survives Rise of the Skywalker?
Yes.
Yeah?
I think she like kind of goes off into the sunset with a band of rebels to make a new thing happen. And it's like a happy kind of... not even at the end, you know, maybe beforehand.
The Fast and Furious type, driving two cars. Paul Walker goes one way, Vin Diesel goes the other.
Yes.
I've never seen
those. So.
I have never either. I've seen
that
some
sounded
of them.
Pretty legitimate though. Yeah.
I've seen that scene.
Oh, so that is a real scene.
It is a real scene, and it's sad. But I'm not a fan. I've just never like.
Yeah.
I've never committed the resources to appreciate it fully.
I'm not a car guy, so. Although that last one, when I saw the preview in the theater, you don't know how to drive?
No.
When I saw the preview in the theater for that last one with The Rock and the other guy, the transporter guy, I was like, that looks like a ton of fun. So
The transporter.
The Hobbs and Shaw.
What did I say?
Okay, sorry, I'm confused. We're talking about these are all car movies.
Right?
This is very upsetting.
Wasn't
I was told
the transporter
there'd be no
guy?
Car talk. I brought it on myself.
Sorry. You did by broaching Fast and Furious. Now we can ask all sorts of questions.
I brought this shame upon my household. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Let's talk about Ludacris.
Yes.
Mr. Chris.
Let's talk about Kyber Crystals.
Okay.
I'm on board. Tivik says that's what the Kyber crystals are for, and suddenly we hear mentioned in a movie Kyber crystals, which is something that was not said in a movie ever again, like
just
ever
in the books.
Yet. It was in the books. It goes all the way back to actually to refresh myself on this. I watched the history of Kyber crystals video from our friends at Star Wars Explained.
Aww.
And there's the differently spelled Kyber crystal, K-A-I-B-U-R-R, which is the kind of
the
MacGuffin from the in Splinter of the Mind's Eye that the potential original sequel for Star Wars, that Luke and Leia are trying to get the Kyber crystal, which is the one thing that amplifies the Force and makes it can also like heal people, and it's this ill-defined thing that they're trying to chase after in that. But then between then and Clone Wars, it was just kind of a variety of odd sources, you know, like books and whatever else. Everybody would mention a little bit about what kyber crystals do and what are they about, and then they became associated with lightsabers and this whole like thing developed. And then not until I didn't write down what episode it was. There's an episode of Clone Wars where that was the first, I think it was before the break, but Clone Wars maintained canon, so that's the first canonical kind of mention of Kyber crystals.
Mm-hmm.
It's in there's like a Clone Wars episode where they have to like go build a lightsaber or something like that, and that's where we learn all this stuff that I don't like. I wrote just this like Harry Potter stuff that's like I like Harry Potter, but not in my Star Wars. Like get that fantasy stuff out of here. And it's too much like, oh, well, the crystal, like originally it was just like, oh, you found a green crystal, you put it in a thing, and then you got a green lightsaber. But now it's like, oh, you find the crystal and your aura projects the color and all this other stuff, and like and that they've made it too fantasy magical.
Yeah.
I heard that when the Siths, the reason theirs are red is because they torture the crystals and it turns them red. And I'm like, that is the dumbest. Yeah. How do you torture a crystal?
Yeah. Well, it's because it's rich with the force, right?
You know, rich with the force.
Yeah.
I just really want to know how much kyber crystals were in this film, because the first trailer, which we know a lot of things weren't in it, it gave a lot of attention to the necklace. Like, way too much for something that wasn't planning on using this again, because they all screened that. It's not like they're like, oh, that won't come. More necklace shots. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't seem. And they don't. I don't even know if they sell them, if it was like a ploy for toys or jewelry, but. Yeah,
did they have
I really
them at,
can't.
Galaxy's
that.
Edge?
Maybe they did. I don't know. I didn't see one.
But I can't.
I know you can buy. You can make your own lightsaber there and stuff. So right. I assume you can.
Well, there's
buy
yeah. It. You can get the crystal to put in it, but can you put it? Can you wear one? Who knows?
See, that's why I don't like the what is it, the cross saber either, because it doesn't make sense, and it needs to make a little bit of sense, just a little bit of sense in my Star Wars. It's like. This doesn't work the way that the lightsaber would work.
Why? Because it splits light into two different.
Wait, didn't we go over this?
Yes,
with
we've
you?
Gone over yes. this a thousand okay. times. So it's like because it does. It doesn't either the splitting or the whatnot. The function of that is to be able to hold someone's sword when it comes into it.
Yeah.
And that does not work when it's a lightsaber
because it would cut right through.
Yeah, it's
although
right through.
The metal that those things are made of must be lightsaber proof because otherwise they would just.
But they're not. But the metal isn't actually around the lightsabers. It's like right beneath them, allegedly.
Okay. Mm.
But that's what.
So the metal isn't
fans.
Actually touching the light.
Well, some people
part.
Say it goes through, and the metal is special. I'm like, well, then why isn't everything built out of this metal? Exactly. Why aren't the stormtroopers built out
why
of this metal?
So a lightsaber could cut through a lightsaber handle, lightsaber hilt.
Yeah. Why couldn't it?
Right. We don't see that.
We've seen lightsabers destroy
well,
other lightsabers. Yeah.
Anakin's lightsaber got cut in half by a droid robot machine.
Yeah. There you go.
So it can't be that tough.
No. But why would you make that then? That's
but
stupid.
But wait, but does it get cut by a lightsaber ever? Does somebody's lightsaber get cut by a lightsaber at any point?
I think it does.
I don't know.
Doesn't doesn't in like the big fight with the moth people in one of the prequels, doesn't somebody one of the Jedi's lightsabers get cut?
I don't know.
I'll have to rewatch that scene.
I guess it's easier just to cut through the hand, which is why people do that instead.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it does make sense.
But still, it's but, like, I just, if it's not, if it doesn't serve a purpose, what is it there for? The cross hilt, the cross saber. What is the point?
Yeah. It looks cool.
It's superfluous. Right. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if, again, the Clone Wars and Rebels, they have all sorts of crazy, like, lightsabers that are like, helicopters that can fly them out, and what'd you say?
It's a cartoon. It's
okay, right. Garbage.
Well, that's what I hope.
No,
I want again. Yeah, all that stuff. I want that to stay in the cartoons.
Which is fine. Like I'm fine with a little fantasy in the cartoons, but like
dark saber.
No, dark
that's actually cool.
No,
they're not wands. They are tools.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Or what's the other like that you can un. Like you can untorture a Sith crystal and then it becomes white.
Oh my god!
But only if you kill the previous owner of the lightsaber, right? It's just like Harry Potter rules.
Right, yeah. That's how it.
Anyway, all that stuff is the kind of canonized proper full. I know the cartoon stuff is canon, but here it is on screen.
Real
kyber
canon.
Crystals. Now we're talking about, now they're part of everything, and we'll hear about them a lot from here on in.
Yeah, what Pete is saying is that magic is trash, so.
Exactly. I'm saying get your fantasy the hell out of my sci-fi or my space opera.
My last note is that I like that you can see a stormtrooper wearing one of those orange shoulder pads that you saw them wearing in the desert once thing. Anything that looks like classic Star Wars, I'm like, that little neuron fires in my head. I'm like, oh, I like that.
Wasn't it super refreshing to see the original stormtroopers after getting the newfangled stormtroopers in The Force Awakens?
I was actually going to say in that scene with the jail scene from last minute when you see the stormtroopers walking out there, I was like, oh, that's so cool because we've never seen a stormtrooper do it. You know, like,
right.
Just seeing new footage of stormtroopers doing stuff with like real classic stormtroopers was cool.
Like it's the most nostalgia bait ever and it's wonderful. Yeah. It's delicious and tastes like hot chocolate.
I do not like hot chocolate.
What do you like? Hates magic. Hates hot chocolate.
I'm trying to turn that into like, what do I like? I like, you know, I like more Star Wars Minute on my weekends. Oh, how about that?
Do you like when people go to StarWarsMinute.com/merch?
I like that too. Was that what we haven't done? What we haven't talked about? We already talked about the weekend show.
I did that one yesterday.
Okay, yesterday. Right. And the hotline.
You know what I do like? It's I like Star Wars Minute t-shirts and mugs and stickers and stuff like that. And
what is our plan? We're adding a new one every week. Is that our deal?
You said that last week, and I was surprised, but I'll roll with it. What was this week's? I like food.
More food.
More food and Star Wars letters.
Yeah, more Star Wars.
I think it should be in Helvetica. It should just say more food in Star Wars letters. Just kind of like like a BoJack joke.
Well, it's meta.
So the we'll see. Go see what we made for a shirt. If we've got some new shirts coming out theoretically all the time. They've taken a few down, so get them while they're hot.
Yeah, it's true. Destroyed by the Empire.
I hate magic. Dash Pete.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe like a kyber crystal with a gargantuan bracket over it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
But go to StarWarsMinute.com/merch, MERCH, and you can find all this stuff there. We've got, you can get on a notebook, you can get on a tapestry, you can get on a pillow.
They have buttons and magnets now.
Buttons, magnets. They're always throwing new stuff in there, so go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
who's they?
They, you know, them. no, T Public. Our store is through T Public, who does a lot of good stuff, and they're easy to use for both a t-shirt designer publisher like us and a t-shirt consumer, also like us or like you, hopefully. After you go to StarWarsMinute.com.
Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute. Take it on home.